You're listening to the Bay Christian Family Church podcast.
As you see, to open your Bible at Matthew 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, John chapter 3. How many fingers you got? Today it's all digital, so you just go straight there. But some of us still use the book, page-driven. Amen. One thing, you never have to recharge it, never runs out of battery. Have you found Matthew 6, verse 33? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Hallelujah. We've had 3 wonderful months of studying His kingdom. The firsts, things that God considers important. Because at the end of the day, I know when Janine and I were saved, we needed salvation. We needed healing. We needed deliverance. God knows we needed it in every area of our lives. How many of you say amen to that? And I thank God that He saved us, that He did deliver us, that He did heal my wife, that He did deliver us out of poverty and lack and struggling. And He gave us His life and all the blessings that came with it. But it's so important that we ensure that that never becomes our priority. I didn't get saved to get healed. I didn't get saved to get rich. I got saved because I found out we serve a loving God. And I wanted to know Him. I wanted to learn about Him. Because religion never got me there. Religion taught me all the stories and how God hates everybody that sins and just can't wait to get them. And you better turn or burn and that kind of thing. And I realized that He is more than just religion. God's not just trying to get everybody to bow down and follow unreasonable rules. He's a Father, and He created us, and He created this earth in order to put His Son, Adam, into the earth in His image and gave Him dominion and to walk and live and experience life the way He has it. And had Adam never sinned, he'd still be alive today with the rest of us. And there would be no religion. We'd just be a family of God. Hallelujah. Well, that's still God's plan. I said, that is still God's plan. His plan never changed. He didn't go, oh dear, I didn't take that into consideration. Because the Bible says He already had Jesus crucified before the foundation of the world. And if the intention of Jesus being crucified was to birth a religion, then He would have started Adam off as a religion. But He's not. He's a family. That's why when He came to Abraham and blessed him, He said, you are a great nation. I'm going to make you a great nation. Not a religion. I'm going to make you a great nation. And all the people will know that you are the nation of God. And you are going to be so blessed that you're going to be able to bless nations. Not just bless people. You know, sometimes we think, I'm blessed, so I can bless somebody. No, He said we will bless nations. Who? Who's going to bless the nations? The nation of God. Who's that? Who's that? That's you, the church. The church is going to bless a nation. It's churches to get over this concept of we need something from the government. We need, you know, we got to have, we got to do, and we got to... No, we are here to bless this nation, South Africa, you and I. And we got to stand up and be that church. Amen. How's it going to happen? When we make His kingdom our priority. Not our lives, His kingdom. It's not about me and mine and I. It's about His kingdom. And that's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So Jesus paid the supreme price that you and I can be reconciled to our Father. That's what we had a look at this morning when we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, say that's me. He is a new creation, a new creation. See, when we died as sinners. Now, somebody may say, I didn't die. No, Paul says we were dead in our sin. We were dead in our sin. So don't think of death and life in terms of this body. This body eventually is going to expire. And when it does, I don't know where I'm going to be, but I believe it'll be somewhere in peace. But if it happened at any moment and I was standing, it would just fall over. It's just, why? The battery turned off. It's like, next moment it's going to fall. Why? Because I stepped out. Are you with me? So when it comes to dying, you will never die again. Why? You are a living spirit. Say that, I am a spirit. And I live in a body. You've got to understand that. Because sometimes we say, no, for example, by Jesus' stripes, I have been healed. Yeah, but what's this pain in my body? I'm not talking about my body. I'm talking about my spirit, man. Now, here's the thing. If I believe I am healed, that life can flow out into my flesh and bring my flesh in alignment with what my spirit is. That's where people don't understand faith. Faith is not trying to make God do something. It's saying who God says I am, and who I am brings the creation into alignment. That's what Jesus demonstrated when he came to the earth. So the old man was dead. When we committed our first sin knowingly, we died. Our spirit man was dead, even though we were breathing and walking around. Why? Because we separated from life. But the Bible says the moment you give your life to Jesus, you are born again. That's what the term means. There's nothing weird or some religious thing. It's simply your spirit is now born again. It's not your old spirit revived. It's that spirit's dead, gone. That's why Paul said it's no longer I who lives. How can a man who may have had Christians killed, had Christians murdered, stand up and say, I have wronged no one? Really? But you see, he knew, he understood. That man died on the road to Damascus. And when God spoke to him and he said, yes, Lord. The moment he did that, that man was born again. And he was born as the man who became the Apostle Paul. Spirit of Christ in him. That's why he says, no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. That man has wronged no one. And if you understand that, that's what he's saying here. You are a new creation, a new species created in the image of God. Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. Family, if the old things have passed away, get rid of them. Stop dragging baggage around from yesterday. Stop blaming the past. Stop blaming parents. Stop blaming schools. Stop blaming the government. Stop blaming all these things that come against. And we say, well, that's why my life's a mess. No, those things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, all things are of God. Hallelujah. Are you born again? Now we're going to receive the things that are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, who us? All those that have become new creations. Are you born again? If you're born again, put your hand up. Say this, I am born again. And as a born again child of God, I have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That's the primary ministry. Jesus said when he was ready to go to heaven, he said, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples. What must we do? Teach them everything I've commanded you. And the last command is while he's speaking. He's giving a command while he's telling us to go and tell them everything he commands us. So obviously what he's just said must be added to that. That makes that the primary command. I said, that makes it the primary command. What are you called to do? Well, I'm called to reach this, and I'm called to preach, or I'm called to be an evangelist. I'm called to be whatever. No, no. Your primary ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. God has given you the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher to equip you for the work of reconciliation. That's the ministry. I said, that's the ministry. I said, that's the ministry. How many you believe you're called to the ministry of reconciliation? So how did it go this last week? I don't want to put anybody under condemnation. I'm just asking, how many people did you bring with you to church this weekend? Because if we're reconciling people, you're bringing them back to the Father, you say, come, let me take you where we worship Him. So we're bringing people. All right, the sound man has just speed my sound up, needs to get to the people sooner. Say this, I have been called to the ministry of reconciliation. And we saw that Jesus was very clear. We looked at a number of verses this morning. I don't have time to go into them all now, where he kept saying, for this purpose, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. He said to come destroy the work of the enemy. In fact, when his disciples, James and John, wanted to blow the people up because they weren't following him, he says, no, that's not why we're here. We are not, I didn't come to destroy lives. I came to save. See, people can get so stuck in religion, they become toxic. It's like us or not. No, the world has sinned. You and I were sinning. And you notice that when people don't know Jesus, we have a certain sense of moral, depends on how you were raised, how you were brought up. But every one of us somehow justified things that we did wrong. That was wrong, yeah, but you know what they did to me. Or we tell a little lie, but that's just to protect people. It's a white lie. There is no white lie. A lie is a lie. Isn't that right? But what am I saying? God knows the world is going to sin. But God loved the world so much that He gave His Son. That whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. And so in verse 19, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. The fact that Christ was put on that cross is proof the Father was reaching out to a dead, dying world headed for hell. But notice, He didn't impute the trespasses to them. What did He do? He took that sin and put it on Jesus. Why? So that He could look at you as someone who's never sinned. He wanted the sin removed so that He could reach out and say, it's not your sin keeping you away from me anymore. He does not impute their trespasses to them. In other words, He's not blaming them for it and has committed to us. He says, now I am satisfied. I'm not going to look at their sin. Therefore, I'm putting it in your hands to speak the word of reconciliation. You and I are the ones that are going to tell people God loves them. And I know the flesh wants to point out their sin. But we're not going to do that. I said we're not going to do that. We're going to represent Jesus the way He wants to be represented. See, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. Listen to this now. As though God were pleading through us. So when you're speaking to somebody, you've got to imagine it's as if you are speaking on behalf of God. Whatever you say now, you have to say. In other words, is God happy with what I'm about to say? See, when it comes to teaching the Word of God, I have to make sure I'm accurate. Problem is, a lot of people don't have any accountability, and you get all kinds of junk and nonsense being spoken from the pulpit. I have to make sure it is the Word of God. And I know what it's like when my pastor sits there and he's here in a meeting I remember the very first time I ever got up to speak. When I went out to speak, wasn't with him around, was fine. But then the first time he sat in the meeting, I thought, now I'm going to have to double check everything I say. Why? I want to make sure that he's happy with it. And there has been once or twice. He's called me and said, now you said this. Yes, so where did you get that? Well, the word says, you know, are you with me? I'm going to make sure. Now, if that is a man, and that's all, I don't mean that derogatively, but he's just a man. Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. I have to make sure that as I'm teaching, if Jesus was sitting right here, and here's the thing, he is. It says, where any two or three are gathered in my name, there he is also. That's where Paul said, I come to speak to you in fear and trembling. That wasn't in demonic fear. Because he told Timothy, God's not giving you a spirit of fear. So he's not talking about that. It's talking about when I talk to you, I actually stand here. I've got to keep checking with the master. He's right here. He's right here. That's why people who say, oh, he's just a false teacher. Excuse me, you have no idea. I have a revelation. Because I know, I am fully convinced the day is coming that I will stand in front of Jesus and he'll look me in the eyes, each one of us. And the moment he looks, you know, sometimes people can look and say, how bless you, and they turn around. They just know how to fake. But how you know there's no faking Jesus? Because those eyes will drill straight through that mask and you know he looks straight into your soul. That's why Peter, when he said, do you love me? You know I love you. Do you love me? You don't know I love you. Okay, Lord, you know. What's he saying? Okay, you got me on something here and you know me better than I even know myself. I sincerely believe I'll stand in front of Jesus one day. And if he says, now, Alan, you said this on that date. Yes, sir. Why? Well, I better know it is written. Amen. It is written. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And we need to live that way. If anyone ever challenges you on what you believe, don't say Pastor Alan taught it. Oh, that's our denomination. No. We are charismatics. That's why we believe. No, that's not what it is. It's what does the word say? It is written. It is written. It is written. Are you with me? And I know there's even been people that will try and call out what I've taught. And they'll say, that's not right. They'll say, this is what we think. This is what the Bible says. I say, okay, well, tell me what these five verses say. Reconcile that with your doctrine. Because the Bible says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every truth is established. And so when we are talking to people, make sure you stay with the gospel. It's so simple. I don't know how to lead people to Jesus. Just tell them God loves them. That's it. God loves you. He loves you so much. He gave his son. And if you just say you believe that, he will receive you. It's really simple. You don't have to be able to answer all the highfalutin questions people come up with. Just be an ambassador. God pleading through us. For what reason? We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Amen. And that's our responsibility, is to lead people to Jesus. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. That is the great exchange. It's very important to understand that, because you and I couldn't do enough right to become righteous. Just the same way Jesus never ever sinned. He knew no sin, but God made him to be sin. Well, if he never committed any sin on his own, how was he made sin? With what sin? Your and our, my sin. He was made sin with our sin so that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, I have been made the righteousness of God. Not even my own righteousness, the righteousness of God. You've been made the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God, of God. How righteous is God? Can God be any more righteous? So God's as righteous is. So are you. You're as righteous as God. What? No, just calm down now. He said it. I know I can't make myself righteous, but Jesus paid the price. I can claim no glory. We give Him all the glory, all the honor. Get a hold of this, family. When you give your life to Jesus, God in His sovereignty, His wisdom, His decision, He made it so that He could look at you through the cross and see the righteous Son of God. That's who you are. Because He allowed that cross to set you up that you are as righteous as He is. In other words, you have every right to be in His presence. I said you have every right to be in His presence. Have a look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, before we do that, let's first look at this scripture, Matthew 13. This is precious. Matthew 13, verse 44. Jesus is giving different analogies about His kingdom. And yeah, He says in verse 44, gain the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, you get the picture. He happened to be walking through a field one day, and you can imagine, I don't know what the treasure is in the natural. We can, therefore, it doesn't say, yeah, I can say whatever the treasure. Let's say he sees a vein of gold, and then the river, a little rocks, that looks a lot like diamonds, and he kind of looks around like, okay, no one else has noticed. So he goes to someone, he says, how much for the field? The guy says, oh, it's not worth much, you know. Give me 100,000 rand for it. Now, he might have 5,000 rand in the bank. He knows there's way more than 100,000 rand in that field. So what's he going to do? He's going to do everything. He'll go get 3-4 jobs. He'll go and sell whatever he has. He'll go sell his house. I don't care if I walk for the next few days. I will raise 100,000 rand in a day before anybody else discovers this. Are you with me? And he'll raise all the money and go, here you go, I've got the field. Why? Because of that treasure. Now, who are we talking about here? Who's the treasure? Who's the field? Well, the field, remember, the one, he says, the treasure is like a man found treasure. The man found treasure. Who's the man? That's Jesus. Jesus looked at the world. And the devil wrote it off. The whole world belongs to him. He actually thought he was in charge. He thought he was, even when he came to Jesus, he acted like he's in control. Look, everything belongs to me. It's all been given to me, and I'm willing to give it to you. I've been given it all. The Bible calls him the God of this world. So all you need to do is bow down and worship me, and you can have it. But you see, Jesus saw treasure in this earth. Who's that? That's you and me. And he says, we are doing this my way. We're going to pay a price. I see a field and I'm going to buy it. You want to give me the kingdom? No, I've come to buy it. And what did he do? He gave up everything he has. He sells all that he has. He gave up heaven. He gave up his privileges as God. Bible in Philippians says he emptied himself. He came into this earth and he walked in humility as a man, totally emptying himself and kept pouring himself out that eventually when he got to the cross, he literally lost everything. They stripped his clothes off of him. They stripped his dignity. They marred and beat him and put him on a cross. And in that moment on the cross, he even went so far as to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? He gave up everything and paid the supreme price, and the devil thought it was nothing and was happy to have him crucified. But had they known, they would never have done it. But it was hidden in a mystery. And the moment Jesus died, he paid the price for the entire field. God so loved the world that he gave his son. And he purchased the field. This entire earth now belongs to God. You were that treasure. I said, you were that treasure. And it may have taken a while, but God was busy digging it up. All that junk and the clay and the mire that was in our lives, he was clearing that. Oh, and eventually he reached in and pulled you out. He found you as one of those veins of gold, that diamond in the rough. And he pulled you out and he washed you off and he cleaned you and he shaped you and he made you to be the righteousness of God. Come on, give Jesus praise if you can get that. Family, don't ever look down on yourself again. Don't allow people to look down on you. Oh, they'll try. They'll criticize you, mock you, treat you badly, you know, call you names. And you don't have to go, I don't get this. When is this ever going to change? No. You stand there and you just smile and you just love right back. You know that's what sinners do. Someone calls me a name, bless ya. Still love you. Can I tell you how much my God loves you? Hallelujah. You treasure, family. You treasure. Glory to God. Don't allow your past to tell you who you are. Let the one who sold everything to buy you, gave his life. That's how, if you're worth dying for, you must be special. Oh, come on, give Jesus praise. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with how many? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, don't get sidetracked with the word spiritual. This isn't for heaven one day. Everything that we walk in the kingdom of God is by the Spirit that produces this natural realm. He's blessed you with every blessing you could possibly imagine. So I'm already blessed. Look at verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Not how well we act. According to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Now notice this, the mystery was for us, to reveal it to us. Say this, even though the gospel was hidden in a mystery, it was hidden for me. Now he's revealing it to us. He's made known to us the mystery. Look at verse 13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Remember, Jesus was made to be a curse. It's written, cursed is he who hangs on the tree. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham may come upon us, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Here it is. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. What's the purchased possession? The entire earth. See, you and I are born again, but nature itself is not yet redeemed. That's going to come at the return of Jesus. So there is a full redemption that's going to happen, but you and I are already being unearthed. He's purchased it. Hallelujah. And so while we are waiting for this earth to be redeemed, you and I are sealed, and the Holy Spirit is our guarantee that everything that God created for you to have is already yours. Oh, come on, give Jesus praise. You get a hold of that. Verse 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, this is one of the prayers that I pray over you every day. I thought if Paul prays it and he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, this is a God, Holy Spirit inspired prayer, it would be good to pray over you. So know this, this has been prayed over you already today. Therefore, I also heard it, and I pray for you, do not cease to give thanks of you. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now listen to this. That the eyes of your understanding, that you will see into these things, that you might know what is the hope of your calling. What's your calling? The ministry of reconciliation. That you might know the hope of His calling, which are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? He's saying, I want you to be aware and have insight to this amazing power. What power are we talking about? What power works in me? It's the same power He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Now, family of God, I ask you, what kind of power is involved in raising a man from the dead? Never mind this man Lazarus, who was in a grave. And when Jesus arrived and they said, roll away the stone, they said, Lord, it's been 3 days, by now he stinks. And yet when Jesus said, roll away the stone and told Lazarus to come out, he came out as a living being. A living being. And he didn't stink anymore. In other words, that rotting liver came back to life. That lung that was slushed, come back to, he could breathe air again. Are you with me? That heart that hadn't been beating for 3 days started beating. The blood that was probably already congealed and dry became liquid. You got to sometimes think through these things. So what kind of miracle was that? But hang on. The Bible, when Jesus died on the cross, He had His hands pierced and His feet pierced. And then in the last moments, to make sure He was dead, they pierced His side and blood and water flowed out of Him. He emptied His body of blood. No more blood. That blood was taken by Him to put on the mercy seat in heaven. Today, that blood is still there. It ever speaks of your redemption. They put Him in a grave. And 3 days later, but by now He must stink. 3 days later, they go and He's not even there. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? And they have an encounter and they see it. And Jesus says, go and tell everybody. And by that time they tell Him, we've seen Him. He's been raised from the dead. He's alive. There's Thomas. And he says, if I don't get to put my hands in His fingers, my finger in His hands, I don't get to put my hand in His side, I will not believe. And so Jesus arrives and He says, Thomas, you want to believe? Put your finger in my hand. You could see daylight through His hands. Those nails were like an inch in diameter. He's got huge, big holes in His hands. When he raised from the dead, Lazarus was put back together, but not those hands. They forever are testimony to that he died on that cross. And Thomas slid his hand into his side. There was no blood in the body of Jesus. What kind of power drives a human body without blood pumping through it? He wasn't sustained by natural life. The Spirit of God in him. He used the body that was put on the cross, and he still wears it today to be a testimony. I can just imagine him sitting there, and we go and sin, and we do something that violates his word. And he said the Holy Spirit is there to quicken that in you. And when you sense that guilt, that's not him blaming you or calling you or condemning you. He's saying, come back. You know, if you do sin, confess that sin. He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of unrighteousness. I can just imagine him sitting there, that as you confessing your sin, he just has to look down at his hands. And he can see that hole. And he looks over there on the mercy seat. That's the blood that should have been flowing through this body. But over there, it's standing as testimony to your forgiveness. Oh, come on, give Jesus praise. He was raised. That power, that same Holy Spirit that could drive a human body to live without blood in it, is the same Holy Spirit that entered you when you gave your life to Jesus. Come on, give Jesus praise. This exceeding greatness of his power, which he worked in Christ, verse 20, when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Where? Far above, everybody say far above, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Far above, every name that is named. Is cancer a name? He's far above it. Is Alzheimer's a name? It's far above it. Oh, come on, you're getting a hold of this? Family of God, don't let the devil ever bring any name against you. Let that name speak to you louder than the name of Jesus. He's far above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put how many? All things. Where? Under his feet. Where? Under his feet. Under his feet. Under his feet. Where are the feet? In the body. You are the body of Christ. I don't care where you are in the body. You may think you're just a little toe, not worth any. No, you're still in the body. Under the toe happens to be the place where he's under. Oh, come on, you got to get a hold of that. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all things to the church. Say, that's me. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, if we stopped there, we'd be shouting amen and praising God. But hang on. The next word is and. Don't let the chapter 2 stop you or slow you down. I know what they were thinking by putting chapter 2 there. Chapter 2, we're usually in the next, another city, or we were in the restaurant, now we're in the house. Are you with me? Chapter 2 is a new thought. That's not what happened. Yeah, and he was still speaking. We go, chapter 2, what? The man's talking. Be quiet. Just, if you got your page Bible, take a pencil or whatever, just put a line through. Chapter 2 don't belong here. Now keep it, because if someone says go to chapter 2, you know how to get there. The point I'm making in the same statement, how God, that power, he worked in Christ, raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand of the Father, gave him head over all things, and above every name is that name, and you he made alive. Same breath. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature of children, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, Because of His great love in which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive one day. He made us alive together with Christ. Why? By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together. Where? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are you sitting? Gans Center, Fabric Street? No, no, no. That's your body. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Family of God, can you see with God, who operates in the fourth dimension, is not limited by time or space? Before the foundation of the world, Jesus was crucified. It was all settled long before He ever said, "Let there be light." When Jesus died on that cross, God considered you dying with Him. And you were buried with Him. And you'll see elsewhere in the Word where He speaks in Romans where when He was raised out of that grave, you were raised with Him. As you come out the waters of baptism, it's the same in God's mind. It's the same event. And here Paul is saying, when Jesus ascended on high, they were on the earth, they watched His body go. But at the same time, if you're in Christ, you are seated with Him. Where? In heavenly places. Where is that? He just told us, at the right hand of the Father. Jesus has been given the name above all names, and He's been given the supreme place of sitting right there next to the Father in the seat of glory. So have you. Family, stop seeing yourself as still struggling to get through this earth and battling one day when I leave you. I could be in hell. No, you're already there. I said you're already there. We just abiding our time. Yeah, why? There's reconciliation to happen. We're not trying to prove anything more to get to heaven. You're already raised up. You're already seated in heavenly places. Say that, I'm already seated in heavenly places. Why? That in the ages to come, He'll show you the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for what reason? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The whole message of the gospel is you cannot work hard enough to get saved. He paid the price. And then He made you His righteousness. And then He raised you with Him. And He seated you at His right hand. Why? Now, as the righteousness of God, is that you can now be Him in the earth. You still here in your physical body. He went back to heaven so that He could take everything He came to demonstrate and hand it to us as the church, as His body. So today we live in the earth as He did 2,000 years ago. Now, did sickness and disease survive in His presence? Let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. The same works I did, you will do, and greater. Is that what He said? Family God, we do that when we understand who we are in Christ. And again, not me. This is not a statement of arrogance. How can you take any glory for what this is? He did the whole thing. He paid the full price. And so it's not us demanding of God to do things. It's Him that's called us to represent Him. What would I have done in that situation? You go do that. Amen. Amen. So if he saw someone hurting, what would he do? He'd go heal them. Isn't that right? He saw someone had lack, what would he do? He'd feed them. Isn't that what he did? That's who we are. Hallelujah. There's Zacchaeus, total sinner. He himself admitted he lied and cheated. And as he's walking through town, he sees him in the tree. Out of the whole crowd, he picks the sinner of sinners. Everybody, even the sinners hated the tax man. Think, hasn't changed much, has it? Not us. I said, we love. And that's what Jesus said. Hey, Zacchaeus, come. I'm eating with you today. Can you imagine everybody else? I thought I was on the VIP list. Look what I've done. No. He's going to Zacchaeus. He wants to meet with the sinner. And he exposed his heart. And he just dropped everything right in front of Jesus. That's it. I've sinned. Jesus said, today salvation came to this home. For this reason the Son of Man came. To seek and to save that which was lost. Come on, let's give him praise tonight. Let's stand together. Many of us know where we came from, who we were. And God still saved us. Let's love the world the same way. Amen. Let's lead people to Jesus. Lift your hands and say, today I heard the word of God. That word has brought faith to my heart. And I am a believer, not a doubter. And as a hearer of God's word, I'm also a doer. I thank God I've been called to the ministry of reconciliation. He raised me, seated me at His right hand. He's placed me in His glory. It's His glory that manifests in my life. And I am here to demonstrate that glory, to live the righteous life that He's called me to live. And when I do, it demonstrates His glory. Others will see it, and they will too, just like Zacchaeus, want to see me. And when they meet me and I speak to them, I'm going to introduce them to my Father. It is He who lives, and I am a minister of reconciliation, bringing people back to the heart of the Father. And I thank God He's given me His grace to be able to do this. And I give Him glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.